All right, folks, I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for August 14th, 2019. Please set your cell phones for stun and all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, roll call, please.
Here.
Tom Gassetti, absent. Anthony Brunix, absent. Derek Nimitz, absent. Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Levon Winter. William Baker.
Present. All right, we have a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes from July 10th, 2019. Is there any modifications, corrections, statements, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the minutes from July 10th, 2019.
Second. Motion and second. Any discussion? Be there none. All those in favor of putting these in there forever, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? They're in there. Next up is the chairman report. That would be me. Happy summer. Again, a two, it's now, is it, what is it now, Dan? How many millions?
It's 265, technically, right now, but the mitigation project is still ongoing, so it will rise.
Okay. $270 million man-made engineering project that if it isn't maintained on a daily basis, the pictures from September 2008 give you some indication of what happens. It's important that we remember that this is an engineering of Mother Nature to which is always going to be a challenge. We're far better prepared than we were before the events of 2008, but never lose sight of the fact that if we get 10 gallons of water for our 5-gallon bucket, we're going to have some issues. As we continue to enhance what we have with regards to the actual river, we're also looking at all the feeders and the tributaries throughout the watershed to make sure we look at this as a system, and this is a true economic development project that's community-wide, and let's hope to keep it that way for as long as we all draw a breath. It's getting more and more challenging. That's enough for that. Move through on the finance report, the approval of the claims for August 2019. And we need a motion to talk about that, please.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion for the approval of the claims for August of 2019 in the amount of $1,014,157.13.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Mr. Repay, anything in paying the bills?
We'll go over the larger ones and per normal standards during the summertime, we try to accomplish as much as we can before the great fall sets in winter. The largest claim that we have is for Grimmer Construction for $288,636.60. That's for the eye wall maintenance and the culvert inspection that you guys approved. They were the lowest bidder. That was to be in compliance with, and I think Commissioner Castellanos actually went out on that pre-bid meeting on that cold April morning to make sure that all the joints were done properly, and the Corps is happy with what they saw, because I was out there with them this afternoon on some parts of the levee, and they thought that the work that they did was a good job. In addition to that, they also helped us with some sluice gate repairs that had come up that weren't working during our inspections, both in Hammond and Gary, and since we had them out already, we just added that to that contract, and they fixed them, they're working, and that allowed us to get the positive grade that we did on the inspections. We're still awaiting final word for the Gary inspections, but all indications are we will be, bless you, acceptable and active. And active is the most important thing of that, meaning that if there was something that happened to them, that they are covered by the Army Corps as far as its project to fix them, sort of like the leaky wall that happened over there on Stage 7. Ellis Construction for Harrison, $115,497. We've had a lot of discussion about this. Right now, completion for that is going to be the end of or towards the end of October. That could be lifted up a little bit to mid to beginning of October, but right now they're still staying with it. but they're moving along and pouring the deck, we found out, later on next week. So that's 115,497. Large blockage we had in Hart's Ditch, which was complicated even further by a NIPSCO pipeline that was running underneath it, which is their new gas line. So there was some extra costs associated with that, with putting the matting down so that we didn't disturb the pipelines below and cause an adverse action that happened, which would cause an explosion. There is the Lake County Board of Commissioners for $133,290.28. That's reimbursement for the Hermits Lake Watershed Project. That was agreed to last year, 2018. This is their second payment. They have one smaller payment coming, but now we have paid the bulk of it after approving this claim for $133,290. And then I think I've hit all the larger ones. We have Vail Appraisal Group for $22,800. They're doing the title work for us for the pump station easements that are required by the Army Corps. And then Gary up paying for the pedestrian bridge that that is now, in essence, complete. There's some minor vegetation issues, but we, between that and the tree removal that we did between CMB Construction, which is at $12,000, that area looks fantastic. Unfortunately, a ATV try to sneak through and actually snuck through one of the bollards, but we can't get the bollards any closer, otherwise the bicyclists can't make it through. So it's one of the evils that we have over there. But if you want to do a ribbon cutting, commissioners, you certainly can at the Chase Street Pedestrian Bridge. If you have any questions about any of their particular ones, I'm sorry I missed one, City of Hobart reimbursement for the Lake George weed control, but that's using that new with the microorganisms that are eating the algae and that eat all the bacteria and stuff, and hopefully will increase the depth of Lake George. That was approved last year, and they have started that contract, and we're, as a part of that contract, reimbursing them for a portion of that weed control.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Repay or comments with regards to the claims?
The City of Hobart claim for the $74,000, you said, Dan, that's a one-time payment. That's our only commitment, correct?
We're done, right. They initially wanted to do it over 2 years, but then it was determined that they could do it in 1 year, the cycle that they could use because of when they started it. So they started, my understanding was in spring, and then again in fall. So then we're done with the City of Hobart.
Hey, Dan, the small one over at Georgia Street, is that over by Bailey School?
Oh, no, it's not going to be 28th, it's like 27th in Georgia, and Dave will tell me what that old school is at the bend where it bends from Georgia to Virginia. What happens, what was the school?
It's Carter.
Carter School, so it's a band of school. There's a large pond that's located between the expressway and Carter School, and what happens is the beavers block it up from going when it goes underneath Georgia, and it causes it to actually back up onto the street as Georgia turns into Virginia as you're going northbound. So okay. That's where we, believe it or not, that's where we caught the 69-pound beaver. So we believe there's some sort of sibling there, which we're going to get to eventually.
Okay. All right, anything else on the claims? All right, there's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schlitzky.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Logan Whitaker.
Yes.
Floyd Baker.
Yes. Paying the bills. Keep going, Dan. Roll this into your project tracker executive director's report, please.
So well, we closed out Clark Street. That's done. What we did was we added a guardrail. We thought it was for safety purposes. It was a lot safer for not only the drivers but those people that wanted to make it into there. Unfortunately, we had some folks that kept on parking in our newly planted grass, which was causing some disruption, so we had to make some minor adjustments there with that. But we're done with Clark Street. As I mentioned, Chase Street Pedestrian Bridge, minor grass issues, but we're done with that. Harrison Avenue Bridge, as I touched on, still working along. The weather's starting to get to be great, almost too dry, which is great, and that should be complete, you know, in October, you know, mid to late is what my guess is. Lake Station Levee, Patrick is still working on the design. We should receive some sort of preliminary information here probably by next month as to which way we're going to go. As I mentioned to you guys, there's a large landslide drainage issue in that whole entire neighborhood. And it's just going to be a matter of how much we want to bite off as far as correcting those issues behind the levee. We certainly will have to make arrangements for the water to get over the levee, because right now, as it is, it just floods and takes over the neighborhood and then eventually recedes. But their hydraulic report has indicated that there are some undersized culverts in that area, and they're going to give us some options. Like I said, it's just depending on how much we plan on doing, along with putting in that dam and also with the pedestrian overpass in that area. So we'll know more information next meeting. The Army Corps inspections, as I mentioned, we'll probably have an official report in September, a letter from them, but all indications are we've passed again and it's active. There were some minor issues in the NDOT segment that are technically not a part of our project, but are a part of the system. So meaning we didn't pay for the project, but they use it as a part of the system, but we're going to correct those with the help of NDOT. Hammond and Marshalltown paving has gone well. Hammond better than Marshalltown. Marshalltown, we were a little bit low in a couple places, and our engineer caught some of those. And so now Walsh and Kelly has to go back and fix some of the paving. We have to keep the horses off there so they don't cause any more damage. But in the overall view of things, it went well, and we're pretty pleased with what happened. The leaky wall, as I refer to it, and we refer to it, there was an issue, my understanding, from the Corps side as far as funding, and they have sort of fixed that, but they have to rebid it and award it. So hopefully, Natalie told me that it would be any day now, and so we await to see if there's a new contract or anything different. Not any least important, pretty important that happened last month. We had the Grant West pump station theft. On a sunny
day. Stole the pump station?
No, they might as well have. At 2:22 in the morning, my phone went off because we have SCADA that it's attached to it, and so it went back to my phone and rang and said, we lost contact with the pump station. Well, I'm not assuming anything because it's dry out, there's no rain, so I'm assuming someone just hit a power line, and that's just what happens. So we went there in the morning, and Oliver from Glenn checked it out first, and it was determined that the copper wiring was pulled from the pump. They cut it from the box at NIPSCO and pulled it out from the pump station. So that was, I believe, all told 400 or 500 feet of copper wiring that was gone, and we were able to get it back up and running. And we have some quotes that will hopefully remedy that from Metropolitan as far as cameras and other things that will videotape these folks. And unfortunately, NIPSCO has told us that they've already lost nearly $1 million already from copper thefts just on their lines alone. And that includes lines on streets where people have climbed up on the poles and cut them down. So I guess you do what you do. And so that was a major thing, major expense. But like I said, it's back up and running, and we're going to make some security changes to it that hopefully will eliminate that. Other than that, the mitigation projects are going along as they should. We don't have any issues. There's no change orders that I'm aware of. There's no issues that should be or could be coming up that are potential problems. And so we just are now meeting with the communities to talk about some of the things that came up during the inspection report to mitigate them. Some holes that animals have left, some burrows, some ruts that have been caused, and we're going to fix all those. So that's what we're going to do this fall, in the hopes that next spring when we do this inspection process, we have a little bit less of issues or problems or questions that they come up with. But if there's a particular project that you're aware of, I should bring this one up. I did meet with some folks about the Hart Ditch issue, meaning the one that Wicker Park is higher than the neighborhood. So the Corps doesn't know how they're going to handle that yet, and so we're just we're going to still do our due diligence, and we, through Garcia, has given us some LIDAR information so that in the event that water does overtop into Wicker Park, we're not causing bigger problems on Indianapolis Boulevard and that shopping center and the neighborhood through the, you know, the bike trail. So that's stuff that we're looking at, and hopefully our friends at the Corps will come up with an answer here. But that's it, unless you have some particular question.
All right, bring it back here. First of all, for me, you know, congratulations on getting all the inspections pushed through, because that's first and foremost as it relates to what we do here. So congratulations on that. Any questions with regards to what's going on?
The Lake Station levy that you say that we may have options presented to us in the fall, have they give you a heads up on how many they may be able to present to us, or a timeline when that might happen?
It's going to be, they said, this fall. So I'm getting, and I talked to her, I talked to Carrie, I think she might be in the room. It may be September, October-ish. The issue is, and if you visited that area, you know it's a lower lying area. And so as the Deep River rises, it just sort of takes over that neighborhood and then goes through Wyoming and 27th and 29th Street. But if we put a levee up, that's not going to happen anymore, but that water from that neighborhood still needs to make it to the river. It's used to being fed through gravity, but gravity's going to hit our wall, and so we're going to have to build a pump station. Now the question becomes, how far back are we wanting to pump all this water? How big of pump stations are we going to put so that the water gets pumped over? And like I said, from what they're telling me is there's undersized culverts that are in that area. Most of it is drained through open ditches, so it's just a matter of, are we going to build a large pump station, two medium-sized ones, or are we going to say, Lake Station, we're going to handle up to this point, where I'm just making a whatever the street it is, it's Benoit or something, we'll take up to there, but after that, you know, we can't take, you know, a third of your city and drain it, because that's how it's all fed. It's everything in that neighborhood is just drains, and so if you're living at the corner of 27th and Wyoming, you're getting everyone's water, like everyone's water. So they sort of get the brunt of it, and they have to wait for the river to recede before they can get any relief. So they didn't give me how many options, but they said there will be options available, because it's something that they foresee as a big issue that we're going to have to deal with, and see if there's a partnership there that we can potentially tap into to help them with their own community drain. It's just, it would be like we did it in Hammond or Gary or anywhere else. It would be, how do we do that? We're building a wall, now how do we get the water through it?
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, any forecast on how soon is it before we can see the inspection reports?
Yeah, the funny thing is the inspection reports, I gave you the draft ones, or the draft ones were sent to you guys, and you should have received them at least on the hard drive, I believe, right? So if you don't have them, I could print them. But the final ones, what we did was they give us the draft ones, and then we have an opportunity to speak with them, which I did, and we went to their Chicago office, or I went to their Chicago office and discussed everything. They give us a checklist as to, you know, this is really critical, or we really need to see this, and then, you know, you have to do it, and then they'll either change or revise their criteria. Because if you saw the initial one, their initial report was, this is no good. And I'll give you one classic example is for Gary South levy, they considered Gary South inactive and not compliant because of the tall grass that was grown at IUN with the grass, you know, the native nature preserve. And so we worked with the Corps and said, we will work with the professor to make sure that this is cut down and have some sort of plan so in order they can do it and in order for the Corps to be acceptable to it. And I actually went and walked it with them today, and they changed it to active and minimally acceptable. So that small portion is one portion that would have been considered unacceptable and now considered acceptable. Similar case, Ironwood Pump Station. There are two pumps there. One is out of order that needs to be fixed. But what we believe happened is because of the remoteness of Ironwood Pump Station, if you've ever been out there, there's no way to get equipment to pull that pump out. What we think happened was they built the pump station and then collected or connected the power later. So when you try to go in there, you've got so many electrical lines that it's next to impossible to do, so we had to figure out a way to pull it, and once we do pull it, it's acceptable. The second problem with that is, as you know, the Ironwood pump station has run for 2 hours in the 15 years that it's been back there, so we can't test it in the pit because there's not enough water to go, so we have to test it off-site. So they've accepted that, supposedly, I haven't seen the official, but they've accepted that answer and that remedy as a solution to their problem. Because having one pump there that has run for 2 hours, we think we're going to be okay while that one is out to get it back in. There's only one, you know, they like to have redundancy. Mm-hmm. So with one pump, they get a little nervous, but we explained to them we thought we had enough capacity.
I had a question. Is there a possibility that Hobart, having to do with this biology experiment, is there a timeline and when we'll be able to see a report? How is that being tracked?
Through my understanding is the bathymetric survey, which is basically taking.
What?
Yeah, I'm becoming an engineer. Nice. But I know it. And I went to Ball State. They're measuring the depth of which the lake is at this point. Yeah. From the ground to the sediment. After they spray it, they measured it once, and they'll measure it a second time, and they have a timeline as to when they think they'll see results. So say they gain 6 inches, you'll see, you know, for 70,000, you've gained 6 inches times how many acre feet that equals. So they are measuring it, but that's how they're going to measure it, through the survey.
And I'm sorry, I missed
it. It's bathymetric.
And it's timeline on annual, every 6 months, just over summer?
Initially, it's going to be a lot more, but I guess if I remember, and I don't recall 100%, is that there's a certain period of time where the bacteria will keep on feeding until it stops feeding anymore on any of the algae and all the other stuff that's below the biodegradable type of stuff. So I guess it just gets hungry, and then eventually it doesn't get hungry anymore and it dies off. So I guess as long as it keeps on eating what it needs to eat, they're going to keep on reporting it. Okay. Sort of like me.
Nice. And then you mentioned the Hart Ditch. It was at Schoon with NIPSCO.
Yeah.
There was a major blockage, you said. We haven't seen those before. Do you think that has something to do with the new work they did there, and are we going to continually have this issue?
This tree collapsed initially in February of 18, but it washed away. A couple more came down, and what has, in my opinion, occurred is the pipeline is actually exposed on both banks, east and west. It's actually where Schoon Ditch and Katie Marsh come in, both intersect at almost the same very place. If you're familiar with Highland, it's at the Lincoln pump station.
By Lincoln Center.
Yeah, well, but you keep on going into it. Just keep heading, you know, from Lincoln Center that way behind Shoops, and not Shoops, but Minor Dunn. So it's all right in there. So one fell, they washed away, and then something else got caught on that pipeline. And then what was happening was the utility wasn't giving us the okay to get back there and do it. And in the meantime, more and more storms were collecting and picking up. I mean, we had all kinds of lost and found in that pile. I mean, we had softballs and T-shirts and everything back in there stuck together. It's just becoming its own logjam. And because we finally got the okay to get over that pipeline, it's their pressurized gas, natural gas line, and so we had to put the mats down. We had to make sure we had certain, you know, criteria and the pool and everything else. I mean, it was a very complicated removal. We've had them before, but not on the pipeline itself.
Okay. Because, I mean, you know, we have all those locations throughout, you know, primarily the river, where they're prone to having those collection points. And I was just curious if that needed to be added and have to be watched now, you know, roll that into the NIPSCO issue, because we sure don't want to have those problems when we're getting 9, you know, inches of rain.
Now that pipeline looks to be exposed on both sides, which is sort of shocking to me, because they just went through there to redo that whole pipeline.
Yeah.
I would think they would have dug a little bit deeper, but...
Right, or cleared some of the trees.
Possible, but they didn't, and so that's what we're ended up with.
Great, okay. That was it. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on these two subject matters, his report and the project tracker? Moving right along, next up is other issues, new business. Hey, Mr. Castellanos, what's going on?
I just wanted to make a report that we were invited out to the 4th District Community Meeting with Councilwoman Carolyn Rogers, and she wanted to extend her gratitude for the work that we're doing in the 4th District for the levy and the paving, and the people in Marshalltown are very appreciative of the work, and they're very happy. And we should be receiving a letter in regards to that. And also, I just want to let you know that we have another show coming up in September. I hope everybody gets a chance to listen to WLTH 1390. It starts at 9 o'clock and goes to 10. But one of the things I do want to stress that to the people out here in the recording, that this board here is the diverse background of nationalities and political, persuasions or political affiliations. And one thing we do is that we do have our disagreements and everything else, but one thing we do is we don't call each other names or anything like that. Our basic intentions is for the progress of this whole community, for us all to work together. And hopefully that this country, the way it's going, that they can learn from what we do. Because at the end of the day, we all walk out here still as friends. And yesterday, a comment was called in on WLTH radio. They wanted to know that if any of us were government employees, and we told them we're not, and they were very happy about that. So that's my report on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ware.
I just want to thank those in attendance tonight. It's always the familiar faces that are here. I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come. That's really about it.
Mr. Schlitzky?
I'm good.
Mr. Whitaker?
Same thing, just thanking everyone for coming out. I know at one point in time we talked about having some type of our special meeting at some point. So maybe we can get together at some point and discuss our upcoming projects for the balance of the year, going into the new year. As the previous commissioner said, we're trying to do a better job, with what we have in terms of resources to work with. So planning is very important so that we can schedule and be more effective. So that's about all I have, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Wicklund.
Nothing to add.
All right, my favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to help us make sure something like that doesn't happen again, please come up and address. Thank you. Really? Going once? Going twice? Should I count to 10?
Sold.
All right, I need a motion.
So moved. So moved.
Any second?
Second.
Hey, folks, thanks a lot. Next one is second Wednesday, 9/11. Say a prayer. Also, if you want to be on the email list, put your email up there and check the website for anything like that. Happy summer.